And I think that there could be a large discussion on the pre-existence issue, but I think it's really secondary to the Trinity, because the Trinity has been used to ban other people from churches. It has been used to even kill other people. Famously, Michael Servetus was judicially murdered by John Calvin on exactly this issue. I think we need to start having a little bit more openness to talk about these things, because it's not just one heretical sect back in 300 AD called the Arians that have had this issue. This is all the Jews have this issue. All the Muslims have this issue. This is a very large issue. If the Trinity is true, then all these other people are hopelessly beyond the pale. I think there's a bigger picture to reach out to those who instinctively read the word he and say not three, but one. And, I'd love to have another conversation with you, Russ, on this subject. And I have another question for you, too. But I think we're out of time. I know I have to kind of get going here.
That was kind of a wrap-up. My final just two-second wrap-up is, again, the Muslims and the non-believing Muslims, non-believing Jews, obviously they not only can't grapple with God as being both one and plural, they can't grapple with Jesus being Savior and Messiah either. They don't have it in their heart. I can't rely on them, Sean. Don't rely on them. When you rely on the consistent revelation of Scripture, especially in John's 1, you're going to find you're absolutely correct. He's the Son of God, the Son of Man. He's the man Christ Jesus. He's the second Adam. He's prophet, priest, and king. But pre-existence is absolutely bound into the Trinitarianism. And obviously, as a Trinitarian, as someone who lives and breathes in my relationship with God in that way, I don't care what goofball killed somebody in the past. If they violated the Word of God, that's them. But what you're not also agreeing with is that in all the cases for the last 70 years, when the issue of anybody coming to the church to deny God in human flesh, and the church grappled with it, and the church leadership grappled with it, they all came out Trinitarian.
It's not. I know a guy who came into a church with that belief, and you know what? The church saw the truth in Scripture that God is one, not three, and the church converted.
Well,
so it's not an absolute.
And that's what the Trinity is saying. I mean, Trinity is saying that God is not just one. He is one. Trinity is saying just as much God is one as he is in that area is plurality. And look again at Christendom as a whole. Unless, again, we're going to say all the translations was a conspiracy of Trinitarians to mistranslate all those places.
Well, I certainly wouldn't say that. I would say, however, that Jason David Badoun has done a fine work analyzing the bias in modern translations in his book called Truth in Translation, Accuracy and Bias in the English Translation of the New Testament. And, there are none of these things that you can't figure out if you have any of these translations before you, except maybe some of the more radical paraphrases. Like I said, I grew up on the King James. I use the NASB updated version now. I read all the different versions,
And you know that the NSAB and all the ones that use that are Trinitarians.
Yes, of course I do. And you know what? The Bible is still the Word of God in the sense that it's the true revelation of God to us. And I think even a Trinitarian such as yourself, Russ, that you could, if you emptied your mind of your presuppositions and just read through the text once through, asking yourself the question, how many is God? You would come away saying, God is one. He is the Father of Jesus Christ.
No, I wouldn't. I would never come away. How could I do that after 32 years of study? That's presupposing that somebody tricked me 32 years ago to believe in the Trinity, which I didn't even probably come to study other than a number of years later. I understood when I received Jesus 32 years ago in my life, I understood when I received him that he was the divine, he was God. I had no question, like Thomas, my Lord, my God. When I received him, I accepted him as Lord, Savior, God, King. I turned to him that way. There was no question when I first received him. So I've not been deceived by Trinitarians. I've dealt with the whole argument numerous times, again, in different contexts. Yours is one. The Arians is a little bit different. The Nestorians, the Ebonites, even Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and so forth, there's all this, there's a different version of their declaring that Trinitarianism is definitely wrong. But
Well, I mean, I really
none
agree.
Of them,
sorry, go ahead.
None of them have convinced me, or again, the weight of those who have come together to declare biblical truth. Like, if you use the term eschatology, it's not in the scriptures, but we use it to define something. I don't
sure.
know if you don't.
There's no problem with the terminology, Russ. I think you have a very valid point there. Just because the word Trinity is not in the Bible doesn't mean the Bible doesn't teach the Trinity. My argument is that the concept is not there. But this is an argument we have to save for another day, I think. I really have appreciated you taking the time for me and being willing to discuss this in such a civil and level-headed way. A lot of people get so irate and emotional on both sides. Not that Unitarian Universalists, Biblical Unitarians, not that we have never been inappropriate, but I certainly do appreciate the tone of what you said, your learning, and I thank you for this opportunity.
Both of you have been absolute gentlemen, and that is much appreciated, and it sets a good example. And I would very much like to encourage a part two.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That'd be good.
Well, I totally agree, Georgia, and there are several questions that Russ raised that I was not able, just because of time, to get to. But I'd love to talk about the Holy Spirit. It's something I've looked into and, you know, would appreciate a discussion on.
Great.
Russ, how do you feel?
Great, absolutely.
Okay. I'd like to ask you, Russ, to close the show. I can barely talk right now.
Sure. Lord Jesus, again, we just simply bow before you, love you, and acknowledge you as Lord and King, and just as Savior, and we love you. We just pray right now, God, just as speak and bless and lead by the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of truth, even those who eventually at some point listen. And again, teaching. We're even told to, Lord, share truth in love. And I thank you for that today, Lord. I thank you that we could share and examine again, and maybe even down the road, Lord, even further. But we pray together right now for just Georgiana. I know she's had this condition in the throat and the chest for some time now. We ask for healing in, again, the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Well, God bless you both, Russ Izdar and Sean Finnegan. This is Georgiana Hughes signing off, and we will be back, God willing. God bless every listener. Pay attention. I think you need to listen to this twice. Good night, everybody.